highly sensitive mind.
Welcome back to Two Dudes, One Booze.
Place of happy joyness and dancing.
Asphalt Diarrheas.
Number 2017.
Asphalt Diarrhea sounds painful.
Sounds like we used to play this game called Road Rash, where it was a video game where you'd be on motorcycles. And you inevitably you'd hit something and fly off and go skating on the ground, and we used to call it double surfing.
Oh. This topic today comes from the Twitter.
Satan.
And Ian, who are some of your favorite cinematic villains? I'll give you a chance to think for a second. Okay. Some of mine, I love Hans Gruber from Die Hard. That guy was awesome. I loved Khan from the Wrath of Khan, and obviously Hannibal from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Great villains all throughout.
I like villains that you can sympathize with, that you can empathize, like understand why they went through that. I mean, Christopher Lee always plays really, really badass villains. They're always, like, diabolical. So I love Saruman in the books because you kind of get why he did that. I loved, what's the guy in Last Action Hero? Benedict. That guy was a really cool villain. He wasn't so much, like, I guess, maybe not believable. He was just, like, really sinister, I guess, and, like, kind of comical in the way he was.
Mm-hmm.
He completely accepted what an evil badass he was.
See, that reminds me of Mr. Glass from Unbreakable.
I've not gotten around to seeing that yet.
See, he was a villain that you could understand. You'd understand his motives.
And it's like, the ones that are like, I really hate villains that are just like, Hollywood, I'm going to do this to you because I'm so evil. Or, you know, Dr. Evil, I'm going to give them, make upon him an easily escapable situation, just like, assume they died. And like, they're basically
talk too long.
Yeah. And it kind of teaches you that the world is black and white and gives you a really unrealistic view of the world. And I think that kind of affects how you deal with other people in your life. So like, I love believable villains because you can actually understand why they took those actions.
Yeah, you even like in the comic books, like Doctor Doom was a villain where you understood, you know, why he felt the way to Magneto.
Well, no,
Magneto was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about the division in like... Like Magneto for
especially
the mutants,
in First Class too. When you goes through that,
yeah, it was ridiculous. So you can see the social, like, that was the X-Men came out about the time that the Black Panthers and whatnot were out, and not the Marvel comic book Black Panther, but the actual radical social group.
Yeah,
and you can understand where they took inspiration from that, you know.
Yeah.
Because you could sympathize with why he was doing what he was doing, because these were mutants that were being treated as second-class citizens,
mm-hmm.
when in fact they were, what would they call them, Homo superior.
Yeah, the evolution and whatever.
Yeah.
Or even fucking Watchmen with, when you finally find out who's the villain, it's like, holy shit, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That was like just a fucking dark.
Darth Vader
blood,
was
though.
A good villain. I like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Next topic. This one actually came from you. Why are cover bands not treated with the same level of respect as, say, other bands?
Is this one of the ones that got deleted?
Yeah, because you said, you know, you compare to, say, concert orchestras who've been playing covers of symphonies for
hundreds of years. Yeah.
You know, where that's more so the songs, or the, I shouldn't say the songs, but the works of art that are being played. But you're right, why are cover bands looked at as...
Second class, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, although we saw a really awesome band called Singles the other night on Wednesday night in Las Vegas.
That was the one you got crazy and drank too much, huh?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of 90s covers, and I'm not sure what it is about our pop music right now as compared to, like, I guess if you make a comparison, like the Journey songs, like the classic 80s rock, some of the stood the tips of time so far, those seem like slightly comparable to the concerts that Beethoven did, but I think it's different. It's more on a personal level, and I think there's so much, I guess, music being produced right now that everyone, moves to whatever, like, pop culture music they sympathize with most, and I'm not really sure where I'm going with this.
Well, I think it's funny because I do think that cover bands at one time were treated as second class, but nowadays where you have DJs that are given the same respect as bands when they're not, all they're doing is mixing songs together,
yeah.
Which I'm not going to say that it doesn't require some kind of talent, But at the same time, it's like, seriously, you're not a musician.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference. And to be a good cover band, I think it's actually harder to learn something, especially since we've been doing covers, to either A, learn something note for note, for like learning a song note for note, as opposed to, that was kind of
crazy. Don't be a douchebag. We're on a curve going insanely fast speeds, fucking moron. Sorry.
I lost our train of thought.
Huh? Road rage.
Yeah. But being a cover band where you have to learn something note for note, if you're going to be in a good cover band and do it, it's pretty amazing. I mean, you could right now you could call Guns N' Roses a cover band because Axl is the only person in the band.
Yeah.
That's of the original band. So those musicians are not playing, most likely they aren't playing note for note what's happening anyways. Which, you know, even Cloudy Bones had a tweet or a little rant on something, I think it was on IG, about how she has a dislike for all the remakes in Hollywood and whatnot. She didn't say cover songs per se, but she was ranting more on the fact that it seems like people are just less creative these days and want to make the quick buck by remaking something. As opposed, there's, like Ghostbusters or whatever.
There's multiple approaches to that. Because as a culture, we're essentially remixing everything that came before us and regurgitating something new and hopefully better. And I think what she's pointing out is all the bad versions of that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Because there are some versions that are better than the originals.
Yeah, and that's what we should strive for. Your cover, ideally, should bring something of yourself and mix it with the old and make something new and better.
Yeah, I agree.
When we saw that band a couple nights ago in Vegas, they were at that kind of like high class bar or whatever, and they're doing like acoustic and drums.
The girl and the guy?
Yeah. And she did a cover of a couple of Taylor Swift songs and some other ones, and like it was kind of like, seemed like her and the old songs. It was different, and I liked it.
Yeah, it definitely had a different spin to it. And that's something even with us where I don't want, whenever we try to do something note for note, it sucks.
Yeah.
We just can't,
almost
we're not
entirely, yeah.
Because we don't, I don't know, it just doesn't fit. But when we make it ours and do something a little more rock with it and upbeat and we speed the tempo up a bit, it seems to work really, really well.
Yeah, we make it our own.
A great cover, I think, you know, it's almost like starting out with a basis, you know, like, hey, everybody, let's paint a tree. And so, you know, you're all looking at the same tree.
Yeah.
But, you know, nobody's going to paint that tree the same way as somebody else. So you can, you know, it's like,
even if you try and do exactly the same, there's going to be some differences.
Yeah, exactly. But a great artist can take a painting of something and repaint it and add more to it.
Yeah.
Like, look at all the you know, what's that, that poster or the painting they have of the guy, is it Norman Rockwell or whoever did it, that has the old man in the coveralls and he's holding a pitchfork and the lady.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, how many versions of that have there been where people have been very creative and witty with it, you know? Zombies!
God.
I don't discount it. I do get irritated when it seems like people are just, you know, ripping shit off. Like, you see nowadays a lot of times rappers sample stuff. And I admit, it's fucking catchy and it's kind of cool. But there is still a part of me as a musician that feels it's lazy.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of people out there right now in pop music.
You're taking this instead of trying to
make
their own stuff.
That are not musicians. They're not even singers, you know, with auto-tune.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, hey, dreams can come true. You don't actually have to be born with God-given talent as long as they process it enough, so.
Yeah.
Connor Locke selfies on Instagram. We can all be beautiful. So I guess that'll be our topics for this boo. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them.
Word up.
42 minutes till we're
A-town.
Home.
Womp womp. Call me.